Jackie Wilbur brings her top 10 Teacher Talk takeaways. You're listening to SDPB's Teacher Talk, where two teachers and a journalist celebrate education and the people at the head of the classroom. I'm the journalist, Lori Walsh. Well, Teacher Talk has been a podcast now for more than 80 episodes. And in those hours and hours of conversation, we have talked about all sorts of things, including notes for new teachers, tips on preventing burnout, and ideas for creating more compassionate classrooms. Well, this week, Jackie Wilbur will bring us a few of her key takeaways from those first 80 episodes. Let's start here with background on how Teacher Talk began.
Yes, we were together talking about life, but for us, life always eventually comes back to education. And so I don't remember the exact conversation we were having, but one of us said to the other one, I wish other people could hear the way that we're talking about this, because I feel like the narrative in society is often so negative, and or the things that get talked about so often in education on a societal level are about the problems. And Gina and I were having a conversation that was just very uplifting and really inspiring, and I was just, as always, so grateful for her friendship and her wisdom. And so I just said, I wish other people could hear us do this. And then you, Gina, said, I think I can make this happen. I was like, what?
So what a generous thing to say.
Yeah.
What do you mean by?
Well, to consider that your conversation could be of service to other people.
That's it, because we were frustrated with what seemed to be the dominant narrative about education and teaching. And it's just not our experience. And we wanted another perspective out there.
Yeah. And you had an awareness already that format existed and that could be of service to other people. And then you went to SDPB.
We did. And it happened within days, didn't it, Jackie?
It did. I said about in the blog, I said about a week, and then I reflected later and it could have been days later that we were there meeting.
Yeah.
More than 80 episodes, though, is a commitment to the conversation. Lots of people want to start a podcast, and I hope all of them do. And I hope all of them take it to the length that it is of service to them and to their listeners. But most podcasts and ongoing radio conversations do not survive with the regularity that Teacher Talk has.
Wow.
To show up week after week, to do extra work. You guys are busy. Unpaid. As an act of public service or public broadcasting and public education.
It's that important.
I said in the blog that I didn't know that this was one of my dreams until it came true. And I just feel that way after we leave every recording, that I'm so grateful and that I am actively living out one of my dreams, which is to talk about this with all of you and to have people in South Dakota hear our conversations about education from people who are in the field and to uplift the stories of educators.
Yeah. All right, your top 10 takeaways from the first 80-plus episodes. We'll start with number 10, which is, it depends.
Yes.
I love that. I laughed out loud when I read that.
Yeah. When I read it, I thought, number 10, that might be number one for me. But then when I got to number one, I was like, oh, okay.
Explain to people why you say it depends so often when you're asked a question about education.
You know, early on when we started doing this podcast, Lori, I don't know that I've shared this with you until now. You're such a brilliant journalist. And so you've kept me on my toes. You ask me questions that I never anticipated. And so, nine times out of 10, though, my answer is it depends. So I really do think, though, I stand by that answer because teaching is so human. And so to say, oh, in every situation, do blank is not fair and not the best answer. It really does depend so much on the circumstances at play. And so I think also giving permission for everyone in this field to know that it's going to depend on the situation is freeing to say, yep, I'm going to have to take into consideration what's happening in that moment, and I'm not going to be able to have a correct answer on the ready.
Yeah. And that normalizes it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I just love your gentle refusal to accept a smaller box to shove things in than they deserve, you know? Mm.
This is why I love it, that we are two teachers and a journalist. Because you just said it perfectly. You just said it perfectly, Lori.
Thank you. Number nine. All the time. Number nine. Lay it on us, Jackie.
Yes, I was so surprised in reflecting about this, but it is true that more people talk to me about our AI in education episode than any other episode.
Hmm.
People will talk to me about this show somewhat regularly, but that week and maybe even 2 weeks surrounding it, I thought, did this get played somewhere else too? Because so many people wrote me and stopped me at work. And I was in a school building one day and someone stopped me there. So I don't know if it was the topic or the timing or what it was, but that was the one that most people stopped me and talked to me about. And so I was curious, is that true for both of you? Did you have that experience with that one, or was it a different episode that you had where people have reached out to you about it?
That's not true for me, but also it makes a lot of sense because AI is becoming the issue for mm-hmm. the teachers I'm in contact with. It's not phones as much anymore as mm-hmm. AI.
Yeah. I heard a lot about that one as well, a lot about that one. And it just is a reminder of the power of a conversation to start other conversations. And that's the hope. That goes back to when you're having coffee and you say, what if we let people listen to us? The hope is that then they will do something.
Yes.
And the point of action in a conversational podcast is often more conversation. Like we should be talking about this. We should be talking about mm-hmm. this. And everybody's talking about AI mm-hmm. in education and, mm-hmm. and elsewhere.
Interestingly, I was talking about it with my college students last night.
Yeah.
And it was interesting how many of them have such a bad taste in their mouth for AI.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't use these words, but it's what it felt like to me. They didn't like it that there's no soul to it.
Mm.
That's mm-hmm. just the only way I can put it. And they were really upset with the number of Super Bowl commercials that were very obviously AI generated.
It was mm-hmm. exhausting. The commercials were either AI generated or they were trying to sell you on the idea of AI being great.
Mm-hmm.
It was if there was a theme to Super Bowl commercials this year, it was billions of dollars from the tech industry mm-hmm. trying to convince us that this is a really great thing that we all want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people watching them going, I really don't want the thing that you just told me I'm going to want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not show me, you know, cure cancer? Like, I just don't understand why they're selling, you know, something like this will write a poem for you. Nobody needs that. We want to write our own poetry. We're human beings.
That's just it. Like, I am really sorry to say this, but I have heard teenage boys, remember, I work with teenagers, say that they used AI to message their girlfriend.
Ugh.
And the way you write is an expression of who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you become diminished.
Yeah.
When you outsource that, in that way, you're going to just gradually diminish yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Cyrano de Bergerac in reverse. It's not good. Okay, so that was a really popular one. It hit a nerve.
People had things to say. It made me so grateful for this platform because mm-hmm. There have been other weeks where I've thought, does anyone listen to us? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
mm-hmm.
I've wondered who's out there, who's listening. But those 2 weeks made me realize how many people really are tuning in, very engaged. I had such great conversations with folks, and it really made me feel connected and like we are having a conversation with our listeners.
Yeah. All right. Number eight, become a teacher.
Yes.
Right. Love it.
Do it, everyone. Lori, I mostly was reflecting on how many times we've just hard recruited you.
And this is my backup plan.
I know.
And teaching is not a backup plan, but, you know.
Oh, like, it's fine if it is.
You know, I was like, if I get laid off, then mm-hmm. I'm going into education.
I love it.
Because I already know how much I love this. And it's sort of that, I guess, not backup plan, if I could rephrase that, I would say it's the road not taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the road that I'm on, mm-hmm. but it's also nice to sit back and say there would have been another road, and that road would have been really great too.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about what your career is, whether you're mid-career or starting out, at least consider it because it might be for you.
Yeah, I have a student in my college class who is 49 years old.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
All right. Grit research is evolving and it impacts cell phone bans.
We talked about grit and growth mindset very early on in the show. I've brought up Angela Lee Duckworth. I didn't want to even do the math on how many times I've said her name or brought up her research throughout the show. But I'm so interested. She is kind of going through her own evolution. She closed her character lab and has now immersed herself in cell phone research. So I've gotten to see her work because of all of the conversations Gina's been doing around cell phones. So I've been looking at it in a new way. So some of her research is coming out. She's still collecting data, so she's not published anything in an academic journal yet. But her initial findings seem to be parsing out the difference between her definition of grit, which is long-term stamina, passion, and perseverance for your long-term goals, versus willpower, which is the ability to have short-term resistance toward the temptation. And it seems like the research is also saying you can cultivate grit, and people who are grittier are more successful over time. And it sort of outweighs these other markers of IQ or socioeconomic class or culture or location. Grit seems to be this like marker of success, but willpower is something that like almost none of us have. Which is fascinating.
Let me tell you about it. Yeah,
exactly.
Fascinating to me.
And so can we cultivate it?
Yeah.
And she said, not really, but that.
What do you mean? You can't cultivate
willpower.
Oh,
temptations are too strong. A short-term temptation is too strong.
Yeah.
So what you have to do, or what she advocates for instead, and I think this is where her cell phone research will yield more information, but her initial recommendation now is to do what she calls situation modification, which is to help yourself not have the temptation in front of you.
Yeah.
Basically, any student with a cell phone near them, even if it's face down, it's too tempting. Mm-hmm. It's like waving a cupcake in front of your face. Like eventually you're just going to take a bite, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't have that, if you adjust your situation so that you don't have the temptation taunting you, that's the move. But no one in the face of regular temptation has the willpower to withstand it.
Yeah, not every time. Not long term. You might do it today, but then, you know, 3 days later, you're still thinking about that cupcake.
Yeah.
If that's the thing that is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love the long term stamina, passion, and perseverance to accomplish those long-term goals, because that means you're doing something versus just resisting something.
Right.
Yep. And I love the idea of removing temptations, having strategies to remove temptations. Yeah. And let's go back to the AI thing. Today in class, my students hand-wrote a paragraph for me. I removed the temptation, which is what's on the Chromebook.
Yeah. Situation modification. You're doing it.
All reading is good reading. Number six, takeaway.
When I was a public librarian, that phrase was taught to me by the other librarians. And I, as soon as I heard it the first time, I said, I'm saying that in every platform I have, wherever I go for the rest of my life. I have always felt that people should have the freedom to read and that no books are bad. I do support the family and the adults in children's lives, talking to them about what they are consuming and if it's age appropriate and if it upholds the values in that person's life. But I don't think any books are bad. And I do think reading inherently, no matter what that is good. Even on the level of people will say, oh, I don't think students should be reading graphic novels because it's not really reading, you know, and it's like, well, people used to say that about a novel versus poetry. You know, it's just really a societal context of like what has value. But reading takes us. I don't want to live in a world where people don't read. It absolutely transforms your existence on a practical level. You can navigate the world so much better if you are literate, but from a human standpoint, to know the stories of people you've never met or make-believe stories, it's absolutely transformational. And so all reading, no matter what it is good reading.
Agreed.
We're standing up and applauding.
Yes.
What a beautiful testament to reading and to libraries. Number five, teachers are famous. And this we know to be true.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, do you want to speak to this one, Gina, since you got Gabe on the show for us?
Well, he really is famous, right? A million and a half TikTok followers and also an Instagram presence. And
Gabe Dannenbring.
Oh, thank you.
Gabe, people who don't remember.
Dannenbring, yeah. Yes. Yep. And he is a science teacher here in Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so there's that. But also, I grew up in a small town. Jackie, you had some time in a smaller town.
Yeah.
You did too, Lori. And the teachers are famous in the small towns, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
If you go to the grocery store, people know what you bought and they pay attention to what you bought at the grocery store, right?
Absolutely. And
choose wisely.
Yeah. Or maybe go out of town and buy it. And so there, it's kind of fun because you get to know a lot of people and you have a lot of connections. But also, you got to just be aware of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And teachers are famous for, I was just reading an obituary for a woman who passed away, who I do not know. Friend of a friend. And the most beautiful testament to her work as a teacher and just how for a lifetime students were writing her and sharing their academic and professional and family successes and milestones. That's teacher famous.
That's special.
So special. It's such an honor. I still sometimes will hear from my former students updating me on their accomplishments. And yeah, I'm almost a little teary thinking about it. Just the fact that something would happen in their life and they would think to tell me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such an honor. You know, yeah. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm. Number four, stories matter.
Can we go back really quick, Lori, and say we are actually famous because we were on Stephen Colbert? I'm taking that with me for the rest of my life.
We are not going to let anyone forget it.
Don't let them forget.
There it is. I remember our moment on Colbert.
There it is.
I'm so happy
our
we were
2 seconds of fame.
Yep. 2 seconds of it.
I'm writing it for the rest of my life.
Number four, stories matter. This is from a conversation with Teacher of the Year, Rebecca Peterson. We talked to her and this idea of stories and that deep connection she had. Tell us what you remember from that, Jackie, because,
I know.
It just takes me right there in that moment thinking about her telling us her stories.
This was such a peak moment for me visiting with her, just a true gifted professional teacher. I was very lucky. She got to speak at the University of South Dakota, so I watched her talk to our current students, and then we got to have that conversation. I'm just really amazed by all that she does. Mm-hmm. But in particular, the thing that stood out from that conversation was she told the story of having a challenge with her math students and trying to figure out how to help them increase their math scores. And the solution that she came up with was that she told her story of being an immigrant to the United States and not having gone to traditional high school and just what traditional United States American high school and what that experience was like, and then said to her students, I would love to hear your story. And then now has this longstanding tradition of students coming in for 10-ish minutes at the beginning of each semester to tell the story of their selves to her. And the impact on test scores and the amount of risk-taking that happened in class and the way the community became just so much more about learning and so authentic. It really moved me. The power of story is so real, and to be seen and heard by your teacher is a powerful gift.
Yeah. In the blog post for today's Teacher Talk, you have she transformed her mathematics classroom into a sanctuary of learning and intellectual risk-taking. Sanctuary of learning and intellectual risk-taking.
Mm-hmm. And it all hinges on trust. She was building trust by telling her story and hearing their stories.
Yeah.
And you have to build trust as a teacher. It's not automatic.
Yeah. To take the time and listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number three in Jackie Wilbur's top 10 Teacher Talk takeaways is we need to reduce that stress in schools.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. This is why I pursued my doctorate in education. I have felt this stress in schools, honestly, since I was a student myself. I felt it from my students. I think it's very much now part of the national conversation. In 2022, Gallup found that K through 12 workers have the highest rate of burnout in the United States. We've stayed right up there with healthcare workers since then. And so it's just a passion of mine to speak about this openly and honestly and address it. And I think all of Gina's ideas about her ungrading model and boundaries to prevent burnout are all ways that she is practicing and actively helping to reduce stress in her own life, in her own classroom, and in the school community that she's in.
Yeah. Limiting those extra initiatives. Mm-hmm. I remember that from that post. Like, what are the things that we can tangibly do to reduce, and, you know, grading, the pressure of tests, you know, self-compassion, collective compassion. Mm-hmm. Some of those things stand out. But, yeah, we have to do something to address that for families, too.
For families,
you know,
too.
When your kid comes home with a backpack that's weighs more than they do and they have, you know, literally and figuratively, because they're carrying the weight of the pressure, you know, on them, what that can mean.
I like to say that the teacher sets the thermostat in the room. And I'm here to tell you that doesn't literally ever happen.
No.
That's governed by somebody else. And I wish it, But symbolically, the teacher sets the thermostat in the room. She determines what the temperature of the room will be.
Yeah.
And if she's really stressed, it affects things.
All right. Number two, Jackie.
Abbott Elementary is the best show about teachers ever.
Amen.
That's all I want to say.
Amen.
And number one.
I'm going to say this with a steady voice. That's what being on Teacher Talk has been the greatest honor. I feel incredibly privileged to talk with both of you. I am so grateful that we have this microphone to discuss education in this hyper-local way. Mm-hmm. And then we could be doing this on any platform, but it just feels that much more special that we are part of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I think about the ways in which PBS as a corporation, a national corporation, and then down to South Dakota has provided educational programming for decades to countless young people. And I was educated on public broadcasting. If it weren't for Reading Rainbow, if it weren't for Sesame Street, if it weren't for Miss Frizzle, I don't know that I would have become a teacher. It was part of who I am. And so I just am incredibly grateful. I'm extremely honored. And writing this whole blog was very, I'm just really proud of the work that we've gotten to do. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. Beautifully said.
Beautiful.
Beautifully written. You can read all of Jackie Wilbur's top 10 takeaways from the first 80 episodes of Teacher Talk. We are still going. Do not misunderstand us. We're still making new episodes at sdpb.org/teachertalk. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lori.
My pleasure.
Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member at the University of South Dakota's School of Education. She serves as director of the Center for Student and Professional Services. Gina Benz is a recipient of the Milken Educator Award. She's been teaching for more than 25 years and is also an adjunct professor at several colleges or universities. She teaches at Roosevelt High School. Like, rate, share this podcast. It helps us find our place in the sonic landscape of podcasting. And go online to sdpb.org/teachertalk to find blog posts and links to all of our research. That's our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.